within. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. Then at last I finally knelt. Contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when he saved my soul.
Struggling. Something has got them bound. They don't hear you when you testify to them. They don't listen to you when you try to share good news with them. There's a spirit in our world that is really, really very, very harsh and hard and bullheaded against anything of this Bible, anything of the great Christian life. And many of these people are professing Christians even, but don't know him. And so there's much rebellion in their hearts. So would you lift up your hand and pray for somebody you know with a stronghold in their life. Father, we bring numbers of people that I prayed for here in this altar last evening. Father, numbers of people, and they're heavy on my heart. Wherever they are, even as I pray, I'm believing you to bind those powers of darkness. Bind that spirit of the wicked one. Bind that evil that is so manifest in their life and the bondage of against the faith. And I'm believing you for them, Father. I really am. I know you are faithful. I know you never let us down and you never fail us. And we give honor to you, Lord. We give honor to you. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless him with song before we go to the holy book this morning.
Thank you, Lord,
hallelujah,
for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
hallelujah,
for making me whole.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for giving to me
hallelujah.
Thy great salvation so full.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
For saving
I could be lost this morning, Lord.
Oh,
but grace
for making me whole. Thank you, Lord. forgiving to me. Thy great salvation, so full and
raise your
deep.
Hand on this last time, would you?
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free.
Can you imagine looking back to that day when he so wonderfully saved you? It was on a Tuesday night, as I remember, the month of March, the year of 1952. The year of 1952. Wow. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Really does. But thank God for saving my soul. Revival service. A wonderful gospel message, as I remember. Don't remember the details, but I remember it captured my soul. And I came to know him. And oh, they had me in the altar praying. I'll never forget how those old timers had me in the altar praying. It was beautiful. They get you in the altar back then. They didn't want to let you up. They'd keep you there on your face praying. Sometimes 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. Just having church. Amen. Amen. Then I remember the night God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Was in a tent over in the Glen Raven area, about 10 houses from where Sister Chambers was born and raised, and just wonderfully filled me with the Holy Ghost. It did something to me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost began to speak through me. I wasn't smart enough to put it on. I wasn't smart enough to make the sounds. I wasn't smart enough to have anything to do with it, except I told the Lord that night when I went to the altar, in the sawdust now, kneeling in the sawdust in an old tent. I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here tonight until you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I'm here for business. I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I will never forget, it wasn't probably 15 minutes, and God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. A few days later, I was at the house of Brother Culberson where I was boarding at that time. His wife had gone, and he said, let's just go pray a while. I said, I'm ready. I haven't heard the Holy Ghost speak since a few nights ago when he filled me, and I want to hear him again. I want him to be real in me. And oh, he became real in me. Hallelujah. Never forget how just in a short period, the Lord used me to give a message in tongues. And then later to give an interpretation. And I look back at those days at how thrilling they were. How absolutely thrilling they were. I will never forget those days as the Holy Ghost began to move in my life. How many remember when God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Would you slip your hand up? Hey, folks, from down in South Carolina, I don't know why they don't move. How about praying for God to move them up here? Amen. God bless you. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Really, today. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bible. Go with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy, we're going to read one verse in chapter 2 and then 6 verses in chapter 3. And I want to say something to you that is very important. You do know, I presume, maybe some of you don't, that the Bible was not written with chapters and verses. Anybody understand that? The Bible was not written with chapters and verses. And so you may say, why then do we have chapters and verses? Well, that is just a way for us to remember where verses are. You would understand if there were no chapters and no verses, then how easy would it be that you could not remember where this verse is or that verse is? So as a helper for us, we have chapters and verses. Okay? And I love that. I think it's very important. But here's one thing it does. Sometimes it breaks a thought right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of the thought. And so you lose a little bit if you don't connect those chapters and forget about there being a break there. And this is one of those cases. I mean, very important. And could I tell you that in all these years of Bible study, I never seen this one before? You don't look at me and say you're dumb. There's a lot of them you've never seen before either. Amen. But we learn. This is a big book. And there's no way to ever know everything about this book. I would love to. I'm learning. I'm striving. But this one really got a hold of me this week. I am preaching on a very important subject. The church taken over by the enemies of Christ. The church taken captive is a better word. The church taken captive by the enemies of Christ. Do you understand that the church world has been taken captives? Do you understand that the secular, unsaved world is so under captivity to the devil, to the strongholds out of hell, that the gospel doesn't even affect them anymore? You can't get them to hear what you're saying and what you're trying to communicate to them. There's a spirit of captivity, spiritual captivity, that has taken grips of our world. Does everybody understand that? There's a spirit of captivity that's taken the grip of our world. That's why your children are not saved and won't come to church. That's why your friends don't want to hear your testimony. That's why many of them, Brother Allen, pay you no attention. Friends that you have been friends of for years, and they won't hear your testimony. They're bound. They're taking captivity. To say it kind of simply, it's like they've got some kind of thing around their head that the devil has put there that truth can't get through it. I mean, they're just bound. They are blinded. The Bible speaks of people who are blind, and the gospel of Christ cannot penetrate their heart. And the Bible's full of this. But this text is unusually wonderful. Look now at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 26, okay? Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now listen. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. These are people who are taken captive by Satan at his will. Now you got to get that verse clear in your head. He's talking about the snares of Satan, who take people captive and blind them, and they can't see and they can't hear the truth of the Bible. Okay? You understand that? You can see it everywhere. You can see it with almost everybody you know, if they're hanging around church but no real commitment, or they won't have anything to do with the church. They've been taken captive by Satan at Satan's will. See, this is the will of Satan that's doing this. He's coming like a storm. Now let's go to the next chapter, and the thought continues. This know also. Notice that word also. See, that ties it right back to verse 26. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word last means the last of the last, the very last days. These perilous, and that word perilous means dangerous, to be feared. Awesome times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now those five verses, he named 21 strongholds, 21 things that are gripping the minds of people today. And he said this would happen in the last days. And there's no question it's happening right now. So here are 21 strongholds that Satan has introduced into our world scene, both church-wise and secular. I mean, he's introduced it. It's everywhere. Notice some of those things, like without natural affection. Without natural affection. What is he talking about? He's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism. People that are haters of their family, their parents, the people who gave them life. I mean, you can look at all of these things if you'll take them this week and study each one of them, and you will see them everywhere. And these are strongholds from the devil. Now look at verse 6 and you'll see that. For of this sort, notice that, for of this sort, these strongholds, he calls them this sort, are they which creep into houses. And man, I've never seen that before. And I studied that word creep. It means dark activities like cockroaches. He's talking about spirits. He's talking about the devil sending his spirits into the lives of men and women and taking them captive and taking them in bondage and taking them under his lock and bolt to keep them from believing. And he speaks specifically here of silly women. Now we must take that beyond just silly women, because there's as many silly men today as there are silly women, okay? I speak of them as masculine hens and male roosters. Masculine hens and male roosters, men and women who have become silly and giddy and have no sense of real understanding, and all of it is the work of the devil. You wonder why people, why men are so effeminate today. And you wonder why women are so much like little Jezebels today. Well, it's all been introduced into our culture and our society by demon spirits. These are strongholds. These are incredible strongholds that are binding the lives of men and women. Now, do we understand my text this morning? It starts in verse 26 of chapter 2, and it says, whom the devil has taken at his will. The devil has put snares upon them and has overwhelmed them. The devil has taken them at his will. Now, hear that. And then you see those 21 different strongholds that Satan has used. Can you imagine how Satan is using these things today? Truce breakers, fearers, despisers of those that are good. Can you imagine how the devil is filling people with all of this kind of stuff? And now you understand why they won't get saved. Now you understand why they won't come to church. Now you understand why they're out there in netherworld and don't know how to rescue themselves. Unhappy, miserable, their lives broken, but bound. So I want to preach this morning on strongholds that Satan has used to take the church and the world captive. Strongholds. Now, Father, you must help me this morning, and I have no doubt you will. I want to say things that will help everybody sitting in this church. There are somebody here this morning, no doubt in my mind, who is bound with a stronghold. They're bound with a stronghold. And if you will help me identify it and say it in a way that they can get it, they can be delivered. And so I'm trusting you, Lord, to put the right words in my heart and mind as I preach. Give me the right word to identify somebody without me embarrassing them. Just for them to know. Just for them to recognize. Not anybody else. We want lives to be changed today. We want people to be delivered of the strongholds that's got them spiritually bound until they are no good to God and His church, no good to themselves or their family. I pray for a miracle. I pray for miracles. I pray for miracles in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Now, I want you to give me your sharpest attention. I have this burden. I mean, it's been on my heart all week long. Brother Joey Yates and I have studied it all week together. He's preaching camp meeting down in South Carolina this week at a church. at a church group, really, large group, and we studied together, and he has a sermon out of the same text that I do, I think, and we just believe it, that God will help us to see people changed, to see lives changed. Yesterday, after the radio program on this subject, a man called from down in the eastern part of the state and said, I've really been on my face repenting or something like this. He said, I'm going to church tonight. I've been under the stronghold for a long time, but it's not going to last beyond this day. I'm going tonight to church and get forgiveness and get delivered from the stronghold. Isn't that beautiful? That happened yesterday. Then I had an email from a pastor in Ireland, and he was involved in this ministry of trying to help people with strongholds. And so he was apparently very moved by the program, somewhat of a different opinion. There are churches and there are people who believe that Christians can have demons, and that's not true. It is impossible for a born-again Christian who's living a Christian life to have a demon. But it's not impossible for them to have a stronghold. It's not impossible for something to get a hold of you and bind you until you are just locked up and cannot make any progress and cannot go forward. Now, my Bible has made it very clear that the devil, as a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. Are you conscious of that? Let's turn to that if we might. That's in 1 Peter 5 and 8. I want you to make sure you see that. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Very evident, because every one of us are his objects. Every one of us, he is after us. Do you understand that? 1 Peter 5 and 8, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So here is a very clear picture that the whole church world, the whole body of Christ, every saint of God, men and women, young boys and young girls, and even children who have been saved, the devil has his eye on you. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, when Timothy shares with us how he takes these strongholds and puts them upon people's minds and upon people's hearts and souls, he is showing us the technique of the devil. The technique of the devil is to put some little thought up here in your head that will become an excuse for you to do what you shouldn't do. Or to put some bondage in you that you become jealous and you can't get rid of it. You're just plain eat up with jealousy about somebody or something. I have a man that I know who is so jealous, he is destroying his ministry. He is doing great damage to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I've got other preachers, and we're praying for God to deliver this man. Jealousy is consuming him. Jealousy is consuming him. I know of all kinds of things that you can find in those 21 words that are attacking people. And this is Satan's business. Just because somebody has a crazy idea doesn't mean it just comes out of them. In almost every case, it's a work of Satan. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. Now, it ought to make you tremble when you understand that the devil, who's been fighting this battle for at least 6,000 years to destroy every person who has faith in God, who trusts God, I mean a devil that's on the job doing everything he knows to do. He wants you defeated. He wants you completely destroyed. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to lock up your ability to believe God and to trust him. He wants to make you afraid. He wants to make you angry. He wants to make you worldly. He wants to make you careless. He wants to take away anything that's making you consecrated and pure and godly before the Lord. And he's doing his best. And if you don't be vigilant, I mean, I can stand here and I could take you for a journey back through my 63 years and I could tell you I won't dare do it, believe me. I promise you, I don't want you to know where I've been through some of them years. The devil did it, and he got defeated, hallelujah. And I don't take any credit for him getting defeated. I give the credit to my Father. I give the credit to my living in this Bible. I give my credit to my knowing how to pray and get along with God and pray till the Lord would break this old fetter. You will have fetters. You will have strongholds. You will have fears. You will have doubts. You will have possibly anger. I don't know what all may come against you, but I know one thing: you must defeat it, and you are the victor. You are the person whom he wants to give victory to. Now, the victory is not of you, it's of him, but he can't give it to you if you don't want it. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? How many know you got to want to be delivered to be delivered? You got to want to be delivered. Now, I must try to move quickly here. The Bible says, and I love this, and this is in James 1 and 12, every perfect gift, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to learn how to recognize the difference between the thoughts that come from God and the thoughts that come from Satan. The only way to stop strongholds is you've got to recognize them early in their attack upon you. If you wait too long, you get in a shape that is almost impossible to get victory. Somebody's got to break that power with you. Somebody's got to help you. There are people sitting here this morning. You need victory, but it can't come unless you decide you want victory and you confess it and you repent of it and you turn from it, and then you enlist your brothers and your sisters. That's what the laying on of hands is all about. There's a ministry of laying on of hands in God's church. So you must learn to recognize. Here's how you do it. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Have you got that plain? Do you understand that? Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. Nothing good comes out of the ground. Nothing good comes out of the pits of hell. Nothing good comes up from the devil. Every good thing comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadows of turning. But the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You are going to listen to one or the other every day of your life. You either hearing God talk to you, or you're listening to the devil talk to you. Raise your hand if you understand this, would you? Come on, raise your hand up high. Do you understand? You're either listening to God or you're listening to the devil. Now, which one are you determined to listen to? Every good gift comes down from above. Every bad gift comes up from beneath. Every bad gift has feelings in it, has emotions in it, has a lot of times anger in it, has a lot of feelings of darkness in it, a lot of feelings of sadness, a lot of feelings of gloom, a lot of feelings of, remember them old creepy spirits? I'll never forget that word as long as I live. Creeping. That's what the Bible uses, the term creeping. Oh, that got a hold of me. Now I understand what the devil and all his demons do are. They're nothing but a bunch of creeps. Do you understand that? They're nothing but a bunch of creeps. Every demon and every devil is a fallen angel, and they are creeps. They are creeps, and they're like cockroaches. They don't move in the light. They move in the darkness. They move behind the scenes. They come at you in the middle of the night. They come at you in a moment when you're really being tried and your faith is under duress. They come at you, but you just remember, you always, if you will look carefully, can see they're not right. There's something wrong with them. They don't match the Bible. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got too much preaching to do here this morning, so please pray for God to help me. Very, very important. Now, I want you to understand these strongholds because this is so important. They can be emotions, but they can also be ideas. And the ideas will carry emotion. And usually the emotions will carry ideas, but there's a basis here. There will either be emotion or there will be ideas. Now, they don't come against your spirit, man. The spirit is only where the Holy Ghost operates. But they come against your flesh and your soul. They come against the lower parts of your life and the spiritual realm. That's how you know God. You can often recognize a stronghold because you can sense it only deals with my old flesh. Or it only deals with the old carnal nature in my soul, the old Adamic nature. You must learn to understand that. That's why every man and woman needs to be sanctified by the blood so that they're free of all of that. Studying this week, I've been crying out to God to be sanctified brand new. I want to be sanctified until everything of Joe Chambers has on the altar. Hallelujah. And I'm lost with Christ. I'm dead with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you need to live that way. No wonder Paul said, I keep under my body. Notice this. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You see, the strongholds are going to deal with something that has to do with your flesh. They're going to deal with something that has to do with your emotion. They're not going to deal with something that has to do with your joy in the Holy Ghost, your peace in the holy truths of the Scripture. And so recognize strongholds because they're dealing with something on the lower end of the human frame and the human life. They're coming after you to put you in bondage. They're coming after you to stir you up against the things of God. Anything that makes you fearful is not of God. The Bible said perfect love casteth out fear. Did you know that? Perfect love casteth out fear. Please understand, anything that's full of jealousy or anger didn't come from God. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Remember that. If it's going to make you angry, if it's going to make you mad, if it's going to make you full of venom, it's going to make you seeking revenge or seeking to get back at the person who did something to you, you know it didn't come from God. It's a stronghold. Stop it. Stop it right where it starts and don't let it go an inch further. Oh, I feel like shouting. Oh, I feel like shouting. Oh, thank you, Father, that you've delivered me from so many strongholds. Would you raise your hand and thank God for delivering you from many strongholds in your life? Many times when the devil could have made mincemeat out of you and reduced you to a has-been, but somehow God came on the scene and broke the power of the evil one, and you came out shouting the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You will be tried. Don't you think you won't be tried? You will be tried. But the trials are good for you if you win. Notice, if you win. They're not good for you if you lose. But they're good for you if you win. They make you stronger. They give you a deeper walk with God and with Christ. I'm telling you, I love it. These old chains of the devil will put you in horrible misery. And please understand that. Don't ever forget. I want you to memorize these verses from 2 Timothy 2 and 26 all the way to 2 Timothy 3 and 6. I want you to write them upon your mind. I want you to get your heart all caught up in them. And I want every one of you to live victorious. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I don't know what it is that may bind you. I don't know what it is that may have you in fetters and chained up. And you can't trust, you can't believe, you can't live right, you can't do right. The Holy One of Israel will break that power and set you free. Hallelujah. Woo! I just praise Him this morning. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Now, since all of this is happening, and our world is full of it, and strongholds are coming after every one of us, what must we do? What is the answer? What is the answer? All right, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. I want us to make sure we hear what the Lord is saying to us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Wow. Be strong in the Lord. How can I be strong in the Lord? By walking close to Him. By reading His Bible. By praying much. By singing with praise and hallelujah in your heart. Hallelujah. If you worship this morning, you've got closer to God. if you just sat there and looked around and said, well, we don't have many here. Quit saying we don't have many here. Everybody's here that wants to be here. And so thank God for them and praise God for them. And don't let that kind of negativity rob your joy and rob your victory. Hallelujah. I'm here because I belong here. I'm here because I love being here. And I'm going to tell you, finally, in the Lord, I'm going to be a victorious person. Hallelujah. We're not going to lose. We're going to win because we're serving a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. All right, let me read it. Verse 3. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, against the wiles of the devil. That goes right back to 2 Timothy. Same thing. The wiles of Satan. The strongholds of Satan. Do you know what the word wiles means? It means the intrigue, the capacity of the devil to fight you. The ability, you know, you hear of great army generals who can plan a battle and almost always win. Well, that's how the devil has trained himself for 6,000 years. And he brings wiles against you. Some crazy thing, don't mean a thing, but yet it becomes big in your mind as the devil builds it up and he comes to destroy you. And so the Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You sit around with a lazy attitude and a no spiritual demeanor. You don't have pray. You don't walk close to God. You don't have go to church. You don't live in the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you get defeated. Yes, you're going to get defeated. Put on the whole armor of God. Raise your hand if you understand that. That's so simple. That's just simple language. And Paul's trying to help us overcome the wiles of the devil. And how do we do it? We put on the armor. We get ourselves all suited up in the armor of the Holy Ghost, in the armor of the Holy Bible, in the armor of prayerfulness, in the armor of spiritual worship. We get ourselves suited up in a spiritual attitude, the Holy Ghost moving up and down the avenues of our soul, and the joy of the Bible in our hearts where we quote it day and night. And when the devil comes, we don't look at him and get scared. We quote the Bible to him. Devil! Don't you know what God said? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus did that. If Jesus had to quote the Bible to win, what do you think you got to do to win, huh? What do you think you got to do? You better get that word written in you. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us, put on the whole armor of God. Now, notice verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I've preached that verse quite a few times through the years, and you know that. But let's try to understand it this morning. Would you stand up, Marlon, if you don't mind? Lay your Bible down there, because I want you to be in the flesh, not in the spirit, okay? If I'm in a battle, and I'm dependent on flesh and blood, and all I'm depending on is what somebody can do to help me or what I can do to help myself, and it's all flesh. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not in a battle with Marlon. He and I we love one another dearly. I mean dearly. We're companions together. But there are people where it's different. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You may be seated. But we wrestle against principalities. What we're wrestling against is bigger than Marlon even dares to think. What we're wrestling against is spirits out of this world beyond us. They're invisible. They float around in their evil design. They creep in at night. Did you notice that? They creep in at night. I feel bad at me for being so long in understanding 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. These spirits creeping in at night, coming after me, coming after my soul. So if all I'm doing is wrestling in the flesh, I wake up all disturbed and I'm sweating and I'm in disarray and I'm afraid and I'm weary. Oh no, oh no. I wake up and say, all right, devil, I'll never forget that time when I went to a New Age bookstore and I bought some books to do some study with. These was New Age books. These are books belonging to the devil. And I went there and bought me two or three. Boy, was them evil people in that place over here on 7th Street. And I guess it's still there. I don't really know. But that night I come home after, in the evening, had church that night. Brother Goodwin's wife died that night. I was on the phone till 10, 11, and those books are laying there on my couch. Well, I picked up my Bible to read it and didn't even think. But I laid my Bible on those books that I bought at the bookstore. The New Age bookstore. And my Bible's laying on it, open. I mean, here are the devil's books and the Bible open on top of it. About 10:30, I was through with all my business, and Mama's sitting there, and the back porch came alive with noise. It sounded like an elephant had jumped up on the back porch. Well, I'm shaking all over, but my wife's watching, so I don't have any choice but be brave, you know. You know how we men are. So I jumped up shaking and ran to the door, and there's nothing out there. I mean, the poor, do you remember that, Sister Chambers? It was horrendous noise. It was horrendous. And it was real. It was real. Those devils were mad and shook up, and they're coming out to me. And then I remember, went on to bed after a little bit, nothing out there. So we went to bed, went to sleep about 2 o'clock. That same noise on my side of the bed. Not on Mama's side, but on my side of the bed. I'm the one they're after, you can see. And it was overwhelming. I jumped up. What in the world? Mother, she's already up, sitting in the bed. Daddy, what is going on? Oh, honey, I said, it can't be nothing but devils. So we prayed. It kind of subsided, went on to sleep. The next morning, I got up and I went in there to sit on the couch about 6 o'clock, as I remember. And there lay my Bible on top of those books. I'll never forget it. I screamed, devil, get out of my house. And I grabbed those books and threw them out the back door, and he ran for cover because I was covered with the blood. Now, can you imagine if that night I'd have been half backslid? Can you imagine if I'd been playing with the world and compromising the things of God? Can you imagine if I'd have been a wimpy man who wasn't willing to stand up in the midst of fear and an attack? Oh, no. Thank God. Well, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I'll never forget yelling the devil. I ran and opened the door and said, get out of here. Don't you come back in this house. By the power of the blood of Jesus, I adjure you to leave. And would you know something? They left. Hallelujah. Must have been a whole crowd. I mean, must have been an army of them. Noise they made. It was unreal. You say, you think that was real? I know it was real. You let it happen to you and you'll know it's real. I guarantee you this, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. If you'll put on the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor. Are you getting my message this morning? Put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual weakness in high places. We're dealing with a devil who is a trained strategist. He's more capable of fighting a spiritual battle than you've ever been in the flesh. Oh, but he's only in the old broken, destroyed nature. But I've got a new nature. I've been washed in the blood. I put on the armor of righteousness. Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah with me this morning. The strongholds of hell can only take you if you let them. Are you getting that? If you let them. Now, young people, I'm telling you, listen to me. You better quit living careless. You better quit living careless. You better not open your internet and start looking at pornography. You better not cut on some old music that doesn't have the Bible at the center of it. There are so many things that are full of strongholds. They'll take you so captive that you will be lost and spend eternity in hell. I'm here to tell you that every stronghold of hell has one design, and that is to destroy your soul. Now somebody raise a hand and just pray with me a minute. Holy Ghost, help me. Help me to say the right things here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I could read on. You can read Ephesians 6 when you get home. But all of those expressions of our armor are very important. Put on the whole armor. Put on the full armor. Have your head, have your heart, have everything about you shod with the armor of righteousness, and live a clean life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Now, there's no hope for victory in this life except by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to spend a little bit of time with you. I'm trying not to preach too long here. I want you to make sure you understand that if you don't let the Holy Ghost be real in your life, you're not going to be victorious in this dark day. We're not in 50 years ago. We're not in 100 years ago. We're in the last of the last. Hallelujah. Let me take you to Romans 8. I love these verses. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I don't have time to preach all these verses, but I want you to get the message real quickly here. Listen to me carefully. I want you to understand. The flesh is when you do it with your body. You do it with your mind. You do it with your thoughts. You do it with your abilities. You do it with your strengths. That's the flesh. You cannot win this battle in your flesh. You cannot just have a strong enough attitude that you can overcome what comes down the road to you. You cannot just live by the power of your own mind and the power of your own abilities. You cannot do that. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If it so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Somebody raise a hand and help me. Oh, we are winning this battle by the power of the... Raise it up high, will you? Every believer in this building, everybody who wants to defeat the devil in your life, everybody who wants to overcome those strongholds, and don't tell me you don't face them. I know you do. Every one of us face them. If you try to think you don't, you're wrong. And that's just where the devil wants you. He's a cockroach. He wants to make you think he isn't there, but he's there. But he's going to lose if you trust Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. I said you overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You are helpless in your flesh. Do you understand that? How many of you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this building? Raise your hand up high. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this building, you've spoken in tongues. The language of the Spirit is upon your life. You have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your victory. Now I know if you're saved, you also have the Spirit. But there's a level much deeper. When you're saved, you have him. But when you get the baptism, he has you. He has you. And that's where the victory really gets great. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel sorry for people that don't understand or don't desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have that heavenly language flowing through my lips than anything that can come out of my lips. Hallelujah. I love him. I praise him. I magnify him. He's wonderful. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. You can overcome anything. You shouldn't even go to the grocery store without the Holy Ghost working in your life. You must start every day depending utterly on the power of the Holy Ghost. You must learn to trust him and lean upon him and depend upon him. Now, I know my time is already gone, and I may continue to preach from some line near this tonight, but I want you to hear me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You've got friends. You've got people you love. You got people you know that are bound by the devil. How many know somebody in your spirit of friendship, your spirit of love, who's bound by spirits? Raise your hand. Raise them up high. How many of you know people? How many young people know kids that you go to school with, that you see, and they smoke, and they take dope, and they're active sexually, and they're doing all kinds of sinful things, and they destroy their life? How many of you know somebody that's so full of anger that every time you see them, they're just boiling over with their anger at somebody that did them wrong? How many of you know somebody that's so jealous that it consumes them? They're envious. They're independent. How many of you know women that are so independent? They're going to run things or they're going to destroy it. How many of you know men that are so wimpy that they aren't worth a nickel in the land or the world of authority? I mean, this kind of thing is everywhere. We're living under strongholds and many good people. Good people are bound with strongholds and they're making themselves ineffective. They're hindering the walk they have with Christ. They're not as victorious as they could be. They're not as triumphant as they could be. And by the grace of God, they would grow up and take a hold of these things that shouldn't be in there. Anything contrary to this Bible has no business being in your life in any form or fashion. Get your life under the spirit of the Holy Bible. Get your life under the whole truths of the commandments of God. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Hallelujah. Love your mother and daddy. I mean, every one of the Ten Commandments. You live in the victory of this book and you can overcome the devil, but you can't without it. But the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood." Well, I'm sorry. I'm quoting the wrong verse there. That's Ephesians. Let me go to it so I get it exactly right. "The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I want to read that just like it is written. Now we go over 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Hey, did you hear that? For though we walk in the flesh, we don't fight battles with the flesh. I don't care what your battle is. Don't fight it with your flesh. I've learned lately, I'll have to learn it again probably in a few days, who knows when. But I've learned if something comes at me right quickly and just knocks me for a loop, the best thing for me to do is keep my mouth shut and go somewhere and get on my knees and pray until I feel wisdom and anointing and love come. And then go back and take care of it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And every one of us better learn that. You better learn, I don't care what your battle is, we do not war after the flesh. We do not fight our battles after the flesh. We do not overcome the devil after our flesh. We don't win our loved ones to Christ after the flesh. Notice now, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that finish this sermon well? We don't fight our battles in our flesh. We don't win in our flesh. We must learn that our warfare is in the Holy Ghost and in the Bible and in the truth of God. If you believe that, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up while I finish this scripture. I want you to stand up and hear these words way down to the core of your heart. I want you to stand right there and listen. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." Mighty. Somebody say mighty.
Mighty.
Say it again.
Mighty.
What?
Mighty.
Mighty. Through who?
God.
Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Reach up in the air, will you? You know some old stronghold you've been fighting? Well, first thing before you start pulling down, you say, "Lord, forgive me for my flesh. Forgive me for my action. Forgive me for my attitude. Forgive me because I've tried to win these battles wrongly. Forgive me, Lord. I won't fight in this old flesh no longer. I'm going to fight in the Holy Ghost. He said, through the Holy Ghost, we pull down strongholds. You got kids going to hell and they're bound with doubts and unbelief. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, if you'll learn to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can pull down them old strongholds. You can pull down them old strongholds. I'm in the business right now for members of my family doing the same. I got news for you. The Lord's going to win. I said, the Lord's going to win. I said, the victory's going to be won. Somebody hear me. The victory is going to be won because we do not pull down strongholds with our power. We pull them down in the power of the Holy Ghost. Run to me here. Hallelujah. 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 I don't matter what your stronghold is, Rick. You give him all your life. You repent utterly to him of anything in your life that has no business being there. I don't know anything about you, Rick. I'm not making you an example. I'm just trying to get the message across. Repent of it and turn to God, and then turn your life over to him and let him take charge. Let him run your life. Let him fight your battles. Let him win your victories. Let him sing your songs. Let him fill you with his word, and you can be victorious. Oh, hallelujah. Strongholds have got to come down. Would you say it with me? Strongholds have got to come down. We're going to win, Dylan. We're going to win, Sister Chambers. You can win, sir. You turn this thing over to God. I guarantee you, sometimes you get in the way of God winning your battles, don't you? You try to fight them yourself. Am I right? And you make a mess out of it, don't you? Are you willing to turn it over to God? Throw your hand up if you are. Throw your hand up. How about you, dear lady? I don't know anything about this little lady, but he's going to win for you. He's going to give you victory. He's going to let you walk in his power. He's going to make himself known to you. He'll work in your life, Sister Beth. He'll change everything about your circumstances. He'll change everything about the battles you fight, but you've got to trust in him. You've got to give him all. Our strongholds come down by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody in this building who you're willing to say, Lord, I'm turning my life over to you. I will let you fight my battles. I will rest in you. I will trust in you. I will obey you. I'll live by this scripture. I'll be faithful in the things of God. Meet me in the altar and let's turn it over to God. What do you say? Let's turn it over to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping me preach this morning. I don't think I could ever preach a sermon that is more important than this sermon. Brother, we're in a war. I said we're in a war. There's never been a war like we're fighting today. This is the last of the last. This is the end of the end. This is the day when the Antichrist says, I'll defeat you. I'll win against you. I'll pull down the kingdom of God from you. And he is an enemy that fights to the hilt, but he's lost if you trust in the power of the blood. Throw your hands up and trust in him. Put your faith only in God. Rick, come on, help me. Put your faith in God.
Behold, I shall never more.